You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, we grind out every experience presented to us and give you our honest, heartfelt opinions on those experiences. Yeah. And we're joined with our most favorite guest, I'd say.
Well, we've had three, and I can't say he's my favorite.
I can. I love
you
this
can.
Guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm married to one of the guests.
Oh, you are. That's true.
So I can't say that.
Yeah.
You know what? In the last like week or two, I've been listening. I haven't listened to all of them, but I listened about four or five of them, I would say.
What was the worst
that
one?
You've been on.
The worst one? No, I do not want to hear the ones I'm on. That is the last thing I want to hear. I had the worst one?
Yeah. The worst one of the four that you listened to.
Why do you go negative right away? Why don't you say, like, what's the best one?
Nathan is the most negative person.
That's not even true. I just, you know what I mean? I have a critical eye, I feel like, in a lot of ways. And, you know, it seems negative to you because you fucking freak out about everything.
I do.
Like it's the greatest thing that's ever happened.
I do. It is a bad habit. I'm like, oh, this is the best. Oh, did you see that? That's the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
It's all right.
I overhype a lot. I fully admit.
You know, it's all right to get hyped about shit, but I just don't, like, as I've gotten older especially, like, it's harder for me to, like, you know, get that excited about
anything.
I still like a lot of stuff, you know, but it seems like these days, it's like if you're not, like, cumming your pants over something, then you're just not that into it. It's like one or the other, you know? It's like, saw the new Star Wars. I liked it a lot. It was a fucking movie. That's it. You know, I wasn't doing backflips down the aisle after it was over, you know?
I wasn't either, but I did really enjoy it.
Yeah, I thought it was a good, that's just an example of the biggest, you know, hype.
So I want to get to the root, the four that you listened to. Do you remember what four they were?
No. I mean, I remember what they, but I never, like, sat and thought, like, oh, this is definitely the worst one, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't really rating them.
That's why I was trying to move away from it. But do you just remember what ones it was at all? Any of them?
Well, let's see. I didn't really listen to too many of the movie ones. I listened to more of the game ones.
Okay.
We did KOTOR. We talked about
it. I did hear that one. Oh. Yeah, because
the Ka.
I did hear that one. I want to say I started the Mass Effect 2, and I don't know if I finished it. Eco and what do you call it? Shadow of the Colossus, those two.
Yeah.
I listened to more than four of them.
Yeah.
It was more than four of them. Because I was playing some game and I just sat and, like, with the sound off and listened. Because I was, the game, you know, was one I don't even remember what it was now, but it's one I'd played and I didn't really need to hear it. You know what I mean? So, but I don't really listen to a lot of podcasts these days, so, because I don't have a job.
Well,
so.
Thanks a lot, man, for listening to ours, at least. I mean, you are easily our most frequent guest. Is this number four?
I think it's
three or four.
Four.
Well, yeah, because you split one of them into two, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Which, what was it?
It was the Batman one.
Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you were on both. I mean, it is two separate episodes. Yeah.
I have not heard either
and Star Wars.
And then Star Wars.
I watched, like, maybe 10 to 20 seconds of the video of the Batman one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't even.
Well,
like,
who cares? That view still counts.
I can't, like. I just wanted to kill myself the whole time. I was like, is that really what I look and sound like?
It is.
I mean,
I struggle with this every time I encounter you. And it's like, well,
Jesus,
here we go.
Help me, someone.
Jesus, please. Please take me out of this misery. No, speaking of misery, this is it's a bit of a bittersweet moment because, I mean, this could hypothetically be the last episode you're ever on, too.
Yeah,
I'll
be back in town sometimes.
We have technology. To make
we do
internet
have, yeah.
and Skype happen.
We totally had your mom in from North Carolina.
We can make it happen if we need
I don't know how that shit works.
But you are, I don't know, you are entering the witness protection program because of a mob hit out on you.
That's just what I tell everyone so I don't have to talk to them anymore.
No, but really,
is probably not the best way to go about going in the witness protection program.
Yeah, just tell everybody.
That you know, like, yeah, I'm going to be here under this name. So.
Yeah, so, you know, send me mail. No, you're moving
up to the north part of the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
And you're moving with your heterosexual life mate.
Mm-hmm.
To start a new life. And
well, she's going to start a new life. I'm just going to go mooch off of her. Doing whatever I do now.
Yeah.
You know?
I love the fact that you hate Bloomington so much because it's a college town, and I think you're going to an even worse college town.
Well, not really. Well, I don't know, because I've only been to South Bend once, and that was when we went to look at apartments a few months back. But it's a smaller school, Notre Dame is. It's got like 100, or the town has 100,000 people, give or take, and college is about 10 of that, I think. So it's not as, because I use, what, like 40 or 50,000 people?
It's pretty fucking big, yeah.
Well, when the students leave in the summer here, the population drops by like 40 or 50%, and it, you know,
it's a great time to be alive.
Yeah, that's the greatest time to live. There's like 4 months out of the year that Bloomington is awesome, and it's summer and then Christmas because everyone's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But
the bad part compared Bloomington to Notre Dame is that Notre Dame is full of uber fucking Catholics, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's going to go for you.
Yeah, but you get the converse here, which are like the in-your-face liberal yuppies who really want to tell you what to do.
I'm feeling those
the New York douches. You get tons of those fucking guys here.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
I feel like Notre Dame's probably going to have those too, though.
You know? Maybe. I don't know, though. I mean,
I think just colleges have that, you know? I don't know, though. It's probably not going to be that bad. The town is, I don't know. It looks like every other town in this state in that it is a place that used to have a lot of industry and factories, and now it doesn't. So it's kind of run down. Apparently their mayor is only like 25. I don't know. Their mayor?
That's disconcerting.
Wait, what? You said the same thing twice.
You said mayor.
Did
mayor
I?
Like as in a female
mayor.
Horse.
They have a horse there that's 25 years old.
That was a terrible joke. I'm sorry. Is mayor a female horse?
Yeah, mayors are.
I probably did say that.
Was the boy horse.
Oh, man, no. I think the boy is the
fucking idiot,
the Bronco.
Man.
You're a fucking idiot, man. What an asshole. All right,
let's go back to the beginning of this episode where we talk about a retard cat.
Oh, my God, come on.
You know what? That cat's probably fine. I don't know.
Yeah, sweet cat.
She was fucking awesome. That was actually, a lot more excited about that than I thought I would be.
You know what? The owner of that cat's not going to listen to this, so.
Maybe not. He really did like the show. He wants to come back on, too.
That's what
he might be replacing you.
That's what he said.
As the most frequent and also most hateful guest.
No! The cat's probably, the cat met Robert De Niro. Isn't that what you told me the other day?
And Andrew WK and almost any other celebrity in the current zeitgeist. Is that the right word? It's probably not.
That is
zeitgeist
not.
Zeitgeist fits, kind of. Like, it can work.
Sure, it works. I don't know.
Zeitgeist. Let's just keep saying zeitgeist until it works.
All right.
No, nonetheless, we're going to miss you, Nathan. I'll give a cheers to you, buddy. We're always glad to have you on the show. The episodes that you're on absolutely never go the way that we have planned them to.
Nope.
And so, you know, that's a real credit to you, my friend.
Is that good
or bad? Yeah, that's a fucking damning compliment.
Yeah, I mean,
when you're on, like, nothing goes the way it should.
You
like,
are the master of the derail, and I fucking love it. So it works excellently.
Speaking of derailing things, I just wanted to comment on, I've been watching like the weirdest mix of movies in the last like 2 weeks. Let's see. I think it was last week or the weekend before, me and my girlfriend watched all 3 Naked Gun films.
That's very odd.
I don't know why. Well, it was one of those things where it's like we watched one because I hadn't seen those movies in forever. Mm. And then it popped up at the end on Hulu or whatever we were watching it on. It said Naked Gun 2.5 or whatever. I was like, well, might as well watch that one too, I guess. And then, so we watched all 3 of those. Then we watched Cobra with Sylvester Stallone, which I actually really like that movie, even though it's pretty dumb. But
he uses
like,
a Mac-10 in that, I believe, a lot, doesn't he?
He uses a lot of guns in that movie.
I don't remember.
He has this really badass Colt 45 with the grip has like an image of a cobra on it.
Of course, yeah.
It looks pretty cool. And it's kind of funny, though, because I was watching it in the lighting and the way Stallone acts in it. I was like, this could be like a Nicholas Winding Refn film.
Really? It's almost just surreal?
Yeah, in a way. Or maybe I was just projecting that onto it a little bit. But like the way Stallone is, he's really quiet and he just kind of stares sort of like Ryan Gosling does in his movies, you know. And just the way it's lit, there's a lot of really, you know, Refn's movies a lot of times look like an Argento movie where it's like just stark colors, red or, you know, like, there's
very surreal.
Again, there's parts to it that kind of
neon. They're very neon.
Well, like the Neon Demon. Know, that was the recent one.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen. I know Nathan has
not seen it yet.
I saw it. I want to.
It was pretty weird.
Does your girlfriend listen to this show?
She might if she sees I'm on this one.
Because can I say that we saw The Hateful Eight together, and I just want to say it was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, she. I thought about that. Not that I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I'm the biggest racist ever. So, no, I'm just kidding. But she. She doesn't. I mean, you know, if someone was in front of us saying that to us,
that'd be a different story.
But
it's just a bit.
I could see where people were uncomfortable. Because I remember I was talking to, I think it was one of my cousins or something, and he had seen it already, and I hadn't. And I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to go see that this weekend with the girlfriend, you know. And he was like, man, they really throw that N-word around a lot in that movie, you know. I was like, man, she's an adult. She knows it's a movie that takes place in a certain time where certain things were more acceptable than they are now. Well,
yeah,
supposedly. I don't know if you'd look at the news today if it would seem all that different if you were black. But I don't want to get too apolitical. Yeah. Here.
I don't know. It was just
let's not date the podcast.
It was something. I don't know. It was
so what are we talking about this episode?
Yeah, let's get into that. Good re-bring back, Ryan. I don't know. God, I don't care about this.
And I also watched 48 Hours, which is another super racist movie. You guys reminded me of that. Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy. Yeah. And Nick Nolte's like this really salty, like racist asshole in the movie. And, you know, so it's
not
kind
a lot of
a,
acting for him on that part.
Probably not. But have you ever heard?
I don't know. Nick Nolte's racist.
Have you ever heard Patton Oswalt do Nick Nolte auditioning for Han Solo? Because he did, apparently, at one point. He does an impression of that. It's the funniest fucking
thing. I've
seen
that. But to get this back on rails again, we're going to talk about Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. What year was this game out, Ryan? I know you have notes. Do you have that?
Last year.
Was it 2013? I don't know.
2015. Yeah.
It's been... Was it 15? It was like March or
April,
so.
Like it was very early on in the year. Right?
Early
this,
in the year.
This was actually a request by Nathan.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he wanted to do this one. Cause
okay.
I wanted
blame,
him to come on
for don't
Metal
blame
Gear Solid
me for
2.
This, you know?
But you didn't want to talk about Metal Gear Solid 2 for some reason.
Well, I mean, I would have, I guess, but like...
But you requested this, and since you're moving,
Metal Gear 2 has such like a the discussion about that game has been done like a lot, and I don't feel like I would ever be able to bring any kind of insight to that game's story that probably isn't already, you know, in 1,000 videos that all repeat the same thing.
It's not been discussed by these three talentless hacks. No, that's my thing.
That's true. Yeah. But
so.
I was just afraid if I did a or if we did one about Metal Gear Solid 2, it would just be me like parroting
fair enough
stuff that I've heard because that's how I got a lot of the understanding of that game story that I do have is because of other people basically. It's never anything that I particularly figured out. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. So then, what new can you bring to Bloodborne? Because
I don't know that I can
equal amount of numerous volume.
I don't know.
Of videos
I just feel like Metal Gear's
explorations to Bloodborne.
Metal Gear's like 15 years older too. So it's like maybe I don't know. It just feels a little more contemporary. Maybe not that that's a prerequisite to talk about something on this show, but I don't know.
So I guess
maybe it was a baseless worry.
Well, wait, I don't know. Do we want to derail again a bit? Do you want to talk about what you had brought up to be the discussion or just roll through?
We can do whatever you think's best.
I mean, I don't know. Our discussion question for the week was your favorite boss battle. Do you have one that sticks out?
Why don't you guys go first so I can think a little bit?
I mean, I think...
So I saw that you guys sent me the email and I thought about it a little bit, but I... I was actually having a hard time coming up with one for some reason.
Really?
I don't really know why.
I would say almost.
I have too many. That's my issue.
Yeah.
Well, give me yours.
I mean, really, I really like the iconic, I think it's number 5 in Shadow of the Colossus. The guy with the big sword. that you have to have him slam it down.
Oh, on the floating island?
Yeah.
Is he on the cover of the game?
Yeah, I think so, generally, yeah.
Or is it the very first one? I can't ever remember.
I think the very first one is on the cover, but the fifth one is like the super iconic one where he's got the big stone sword and he's like super tall. Mm. Of course, they all are because they're Colossus, but...
Yeah.
I think that one's probably my favorite because it's such
of all time.
I mean, thinking right now, yeah, of all time. It's just, I mean, it is iconic. It's cool. It uses a lot of different mechanics. You've got to make things happen.
What mechanics does it use outside of the different Colossi?
Well, that's the first one where, like, I think you have to make him attack a part of the arena before his weakness is exposed. I thought that was always really cool, and it doesn't tell you that. You just see him start slamming this giant stone sword down, and then you see that you even if you climb up it, like, nothing's happening because you can't get past that bracer on his upper bicep. So,
I just feel like the other Colossus also have like little quirks like that too.
To a degree, yeah, I agree.
Probably has a lot to do with the atmosphere of the situation.
It's cool because I mean, you swim through that lake, and then you start climbing up it, and it's just this rotating spiral up to it, and it's just. I don't know. It was really cool atmosphere. That one always really kind of stuck out to me, though. So,
sure. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. What do you got?
I mean, all right. You can criticize mine because I'm criticizing yours. I just think it's like it's not the most memorable boss in that game. Even like, I think there are better bosses in that game. And like, if you're going for atmosphere, like that final boss is like the most atmospheric.
I agree to an extent, but he's also the most annoying.
Oh
and
yeah,
he's the cheapest, and that's why he doesn't make the list for me. For sure. So.
Well, I would say the same thing about the island and climbing up all the way. And if you fuck up a jump, you fall back in the water. And goddamn, that character swims so slowly. It's the most frustrating thing in the world, too. Yeah. But, all right. So I'm going to not go with, like, a game I've talked about in the past. Because, like, really, like, number one boss, Psycho Mantis. Metal Gear Solid. Like,
that is true. Yeah, that's a really great one.
It's one of my favorites. But we've talked about that. So... I'm going with something cheesy and comical that has always stood out and is a boss I will always remember, which is the Great Mighty Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Fair Day. Enough.
Good choice.
I'm pretty sure the only video game boss that sings at you, it's the same kind of thing where it's like, it's not, you know, beat the sore spot real quick. Like you kind of have to think and dodge attacks and then throw toilet paper in his mouth. But just the whole thing is just so brilliant. And if
it is the most iconic boss from that game, I'll give it. Because I don't remember any other boss from that game.
Well, I think everything else turns into like ripoffs or parodies of other things. Like you have like the giant alien queen, which is from Aliens at the end. And that's about it. It's not great. That is definitely the best boss of Conker's. But I kind of love the humor of it a lot. And that goes a long way. And that's why I would also... If that one didn't count, I'd say Wheatley from Portal 2. I think it's fantastic. And the revelation that you have to shoot the portal onto the moon itself was just like fucking mind-blowing.
I also did enjoy Wheatley's instant turn once he got power. He's like, oh, you know what? This is amazing. I'm going to go ahead and kill you.
Yes.
That was really cool. I mean, it's hilarious, but yeah, it works really well. So. Mm-hmm. What about you? I mean,
so
you
we get
all of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I've never played any of the games you guys are talking about right now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I've played Shadow of the Colossus.
Also played Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you mentioned that one.
I did.
What was the other one you mentioned? Oh, Conker Bad Fur Day.
Yeah.
Too.
I've played Conker for like 20 minutes one time, like 15 years ago. So, okay. Anyway, if I had to pick... I guess I'd go with something a little more contemporary. Actually, from the game we're theoretically going to talk about today.
Okay, very nice. This and game has amazing bosses, so it's a nice transition.
And again, this isn't necessarily my favorite, but it's one that recently is standing out to me. And it's basically when you fight, what is his name, Logarius in Castle Kanehurst. Have you guys both played
Castle Kanehurst. That's the one that I was stuck on forever.
Yeah, it's probably the coolest area of that game, just in general, just the way it looks and the way it's set up and everything.
I like the chick, the daughter of the cosmos. Who's that?
Oh, Vicar Amelia? Or no, Abratus.
Abratus or whatever.
Do we need to take a break or anything, somebody?
Yeah, okay, there we go. Oh, Michelle's here. So, I don't know. Fucking Bloodborne, right?
Well, I think I was
talking about the the boss. Logarius.
Okay, so Logarius, there's no real nothing aside from just, you know, basic stuff like the atmosphere of the fight that and the area itself. It's like this kind of haunted castle.
You fight him on the roof too, right?
Yeah, he's up there and I guess I won't spoil it. It's not much of a spoiler.
No, spoiler.
Anyway, we have a spoiler warning.
Where yeah, okay. Well, all right. Well, he's basically, it's not even like a mandatory boss fight. So no, even if it is, yeah, you don't have to fight him. But if you don't, you're going to be missing out on one of the best parts of the game.
We'll talk about later.
And but basically, he's up there like keeping this, for lack of a better term, a vampire, like queen lady. She's the leader of the castle, and she's like the last of these, they call them vile bloods in the game. Anyway, he's killed all of them except her because she can't actually die. So what he does is he locks her up in this like room and basically sits there, and if anybody comes to try to let her out or see what's going on up here, he kills them, you know? So when you walk up, he's just like, he looks like a giant version of like Gandalf or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big beard.
He's got a big ass scythe, too.
Yeah, and he's just sitting there and he's like frozen solid because Cainhurst is in like this really snowy mountain area, kind of. And when he wakes up, he just starts moving and you hear like his joints like crackling. He's this real big motherfucker. Then you fight him, and the music that plays when you fight him is probably the coolest music in the entire game, I think. And it's just a cool fight. You know, he's pretty tough. He's not unbeatable by any means, but he's, you know, he's one of the harder ones in the game, I would say.
He has given me the most trouble of all the bosses, I will say,
I think, so far. The one you were talking about, Abritus, or however you say it.
Arabatus.
Yeah, the one that looks like Cthulhu, basically. Mm-hmm. She's probably the toughest in the main game until you start getting into the Chalice Dungeons, which we can talk about when we get into the game, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely up there, I think. So yeah, that's pretty much my answer.
So Bloodborne, then let's just keep this rolling.
Why? Well, I'll have a musical insert.
Okay,
so if you can play that the theme of him, because if you guys can, because it's fucking cool.
The theme of Logarius.
Yeah. Like the image I'm seeing between those
of you just too. Kicking Max.
I'm petting him with my foot, and he's digging it, or else he'd move.
You just bump, bump, bump. All right.
So coming back, so that was the Logarius. Is that the Logarius theme?
Yeah. You guys want to talk about Cobra some more? Before?
No, I do not want to talk about Cobra anymore.
It's a cool movie. It's on Hulu.
I've never seen it. I will probably check it out now.
We'll have Nathan back to talk about Cobra.
We'll do a retrospective on Cobra. Later.
The world is demanding it.
Yes. So I guess, why Bloodborne for this episode over any other Souls game? Because I would preface that Bloodborne is also made by Miyazaki, is that
it's
correct?
It's basically a Dark Souls game.
Hidetaka
Miyazaki, yeah. Who is most well known for the creation of the Souls game, starting with Demon Souls and then Dark Souls 1 and 3. He was just a producer on 2, and you can definitely feel that, I think.
2's got a weird feel.
I don't like 2 at all.
Not played it yet.
But,
I'm not having gotten very far into it either.
So why this over a Souls game?
You're asking me?
Yeah, you.
Well, basically because as much as I do, I haven't played to completion like every Souls game. I never finished Demon's Souls. Dark Souls I've finished, and the third one that just came out a couple months ago, I finished it a few times. But... And Bloodborne, of course, I finished. But the reason I like it so much, there's a few of them. For one, I'm not like particularly huge into like fantasy settings.
Okay,
they don't really do much for me. Like, I like Game of Thrones, but that's about as far. I don't really care about Lord of the Rings or anything like that. And not to say they're, you know, they all suck or anything. It just doesn't really click with me for whatever reason.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100% there.
Yeah, it's
more the sci-fi. I like both.
I can get into anything. If, yeah, you
I
know,
can get
if,
into fantasy if it's done well, like you said, like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, anything that's part, well done can be good, of course. That's all that really matters. But I find a lot of fantasy stuff to just and this is probably a really ignorant view of it because I don't know a ton about fantasy settings in general or just stories and stuff, but like it seems to be knockoffs of Lord of the Rings like 90% of the time.
A lot of times. I will agree, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just feels a little cheesy to me after a while.
Well, and the problem I have reading a lot of other shitty fantasies is that they always try to make things more complicated. Like they'll call a bow and arrow something completely unrelated, but it's a fucking bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. Don't fuck around. Just call it a bow and arrow. Make it easy to read, you idiots.
And even with stuff like Game of Thrones, I feel like, well, that's like a, I guess you would call that like a dark fantasy setting in a way. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I would
classify Dark Souls that. Is a dark fantasy setting.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is kind of just like shitty people that exist in this world. I don't know if I'd necessarily.
There's dragons and there's fantastical elements.
I mean, it's definitely a fantasy setting. But would you call it, yeah, would you call it like dark fantasy? Because when I think of dark fantasy, I think of like, I don't even know, just like really fucking evil shit going on. And, you know, like,
yeah.
And
I mean, that's definitely Game of Thrones.
But it's, I don't know, it just doesn't feel the same to me as a setting like Dark Souls, for example. And maybe those are two things that shouldn't even really be compared. But anyway, the fantasy stuff, long story short, just doesn't really do a lot for me most of the time. Mm-hmm. It has to really, and even Game of Thrones, like I'm just like, why do I like any of these people? Like, is there a person on this show to root for in any way?
Tyrion.
Tyrion's pretty awesome.
He's all right.
Tyrion.
He's Daenerys. A good character. There's a lot of good characters.
Jon Snow. Show, there are so many people to root for.
Bronn.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
Bronn.
Who's the one that?
Oh, Bronn, not Bran. I was like,
yeah, Bran? Not Bran. Bronn.
Bronn. Yeah, I agree.
Jamie's best friend. That dude.
The
is awesome.
Bodyguard servant
yeah.
guy.
Oh yeah, he's cool. He's a shithead though.
Yeah, no, but he's awesome. He's
but that's my thing. Like, even the people you like, they're still
totally
assholes.
Irredeemable. Yeah,
like Jon Snow and Sansa, I guess, are both or Sansa, however you say it.
Shit. Sorry.
Oh, come on.
Why did that do that? I put it on silent.
You know what? This is unprofessional shit.
I don't have time for this. It happens. So
anyway, I just explained that for like 20 minutes.
That's
but yeah,
the
it's
fantasy
like,
setting.
Fantasy is just not my thing.
Okay.
Now,
is that the only reason?
No, and I should say the reason I can actually enjoy Dark Souls' fantasy setting is because I feel like Dark Souls has a very subtle, like, sci-fi element to it. Because you talk to Solaire in the first game, the dude with, like, the bucket helmet, you know, the sun bro guy that everybody...
Praise the sun bro.
Yeah, and he says things, and they're real minor things, but he's like, the way they explain why you're always seeing, basically, like, the ghosts or the phantoms of other people is because time's real fucked up because everything's, you know, the flame's going out, everything's getting weird. So to me, it kind of suggests like every person that's playing the game is inhabiting like a parallel dimension, basically. Mm. But they kind of run together, you know, like in a Marvel comic or something, whenever different versions of Spider-Man show up. It's like you're all the chosen undead, basically. But this is your timeline, and it kind of gets mixed up. You know, and there's minor things like that. And
I don't think I've ever said it on this show, but I've had this discussion on Reddit. The Dark Souls, to me, it feels a lot like the Dark Tower universe in the sense that, like, it's a world that's moved on. Their time is all real fucked up. It doesn't really make sense. There's things that show up that have no explanation, that never have an explanation. They just happen. Mm-hmm. It's all very similar to me like that. I always got a real sense of Midgar from the Dark Souls universe.
Yeah, and I don't know if you could necessarily call that. Maybe a sci-fi element would be a good way to put it. It doesn't suddenly make it a sci-fi, you know, story or anything. But I think I like that. And Dark Souls also has a lot of horror elements to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that I prefer Bloodborne is
you're good.
That was a good save.
And a quick mouth reflex.
But
don't dig any deeper than that.
But Bloodborne, obviously, if you've played, you know that it doesn't like have minor horror elements.
It's
full
completely
on
horror.
Well,
yeah,
it is a.
It's spoiler. So I mean, it's like Eldritch horror. It's full on Eldritch horror.
It's
and
full
it,
on.
It starts with like kind of From's their version of like kind of hokey, cheesy horror stuff like. There's the vampire, which, you know, you could say the player character themselves is pretty much a vampire, you know. And there's people doing weird experiments like Frankenstein. There's a chick in Yosefka's clinic, and she's doing all that weird shit in there. And it's kind of a stretch, I know, but
there's werewolves.
Yeah, werewolves for sure. With,
yeah,
you know,
very and, Victorian universal monster.
And then suddenly,
you could say almost like the Frankenstein monsters, like those big things, like lugging around the big hammers and axes.
Yeah, and you know, some of them are kind of a stretch, I know, but yeah. Like, and then suddenly it goes from that, not even really suddenly if you're paying attention, but the story definitely takes a turn towards, like you said, Eldritch, like Lovecraftian type thing.
Right, Varianworth, the Rom the Spider. After
yeah, as
that,
soon as you kill you him, her, it, whatever. Then
when you get to Bergenworth, before you even get to the spider, you start to notice things are off because you start to fight those Baxter Stockman-esque dudes that are just giant fly-faced motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's immediately, I was like, that's like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
It's like,
this
what
is
going
Cronenberg
on here?
Weird shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I before you started playing it, I told you, I was like, man, there's a really fucking weird twist that's going to come into this game.
Yeah, you did. I don't think you should have told me that because
I wished I kind of wouldn't have. But
I was expecting a lot more than that when it happened, so okay. I was a little underwhelmed then. Because then it started happening, I was like, "Oh yeah, okay, so that's it. Like that's what it was. It was just the old gods. Like that's what it is."
I thought that was a really cool touch, though, because I didn't see it coming.
And the way that these games tell their stories, it probably might not even necessarily come off as that big of a twist, anyway.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like, all right.
I mean, I hear twist, and I think Metal Gear Solid 2, where it's like you're not Snake for 80% of this game, like that's a twist to me. Like this was just like, oh, okay. I mean, it's cool, and I appreciate.
Maybe I should
it.
Have said it's going to take a sharp left.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And even when you go to fight Vicar Amelia in that cathedral, like when you're walking in, you see kind of statues of like great one. They look like the amygdala, whatever.
I'd say amygdala.
It's the weird like bean heads.
And there's a video that I recommend people look up that's kind of about this same subject, but it's this guy on YouTube named Super Bunny Hop. You guys might
have
heard of
him. Yeah, that dude is great.
He's actually going to quote him in our upcoming Metal Gear Solid 2 episode.
Well,
he has a lot of good insights.
Yeah, that's kind of why I didn't want to talk about that game, because like this guy does, he said everything that needs to be said. Him and, you know, a lot, but anyway.
I'll go ahead and I'll paste that link right here on Nathan's face. And then you can click right here. To it. So that'll be the Super Bunny Hop that he's talking about.
It's basically just about the Lovecraft himself and then the game's relation to it. And he has like you said with the Metal Gear video, it's a lot of really good insight into that connection. And so anyway, that one thing he talks about though is how most Lovecraftian stories are like, oh, there's this weird cult down in like Louisiana or something that's worshiping this crazy like space god that if you even know of its existence, it fucking drives you insane, which is a pretty cool concept.
Yeah.
But
and a concept that is explored gameplay mechanic wise in this game.
Right, right. But in this game, it's like it's not a secret cult, you know, and behind the scenes running everything or anything like that. It's like the main religion of Yharnam. Yeah. Like they worship the great ones or whatever, which are basically the Lovecraft monsters.
Which are basically space aliens from another dimension.
Yeah, and their blood has like a healing property to it, but if you partake in it too much, you become like this werewolf type monster, basically.
It turns you into a beast.
Yeah, and that's why hunters exist, is to kill them. And
which is so fucking weird.
All right. I'm going to have to finally interject.
Go ahead.
Because I know you were waiting for this. But and I can counteract things you've said because they all make my point. You're like, "Oh, well, I was on Reddit having a discussion. That is the quote of this game. Is you're not going to learn anything from this game. You really have to do all the work with the community. Like it's almost like an ARG. Like there's no way you're going to do this on your own. You need a community, like deciphering all the material in here. And I do think it's a lot more surface level than Dark Souls. Like, I think if you ask me, I prefer Dark Souls more when it comes to the combat, and I can get into that later. But I think Bloodborne has a little bit more of an entryway into the lore than Dark Souls. But Bloodborne is still really impenetrable if you are not like researching and delving in, because you're talking about like, oh, if they partake in this blood and the blood turns them to werewolves. I didn't know that, because it's not ever discussed in this game. And like the way I'm going to be a hater, and go I'm ahead. Sorry. I'm no, sorry.
Hate away.
Miyazaki's games, they're not for me.
Yeah.
And the reason people love them is why like they keep me at arm's length, because they're like David Lynch movies. They are just complex, and I will say maybe needlessly complex. It's you hear Dark Souls and people immediately think like, oh, well, you know, just, you know, get wrecked, you noob. Like, get better and try harder.
Communities for these games are bad. Like, yeah, they're and that's, filled with shitheads. Yeah.
These Souls games are like sriracha of video games. Like, it's the hipster thing. Like, everybody's like really crazy about it. And, like, it's cool if you like sriracha.
They weren't you're always that way, though, too.
If you're that way about it.
They weren't always that way, I will say.
No, it's gotten worse.
Very, yeah.
It's gotten so bad. In the beginning
when it was super niche, like, I started back at the very beginning with Demon Souls.
And yeah.
To this day, that's the only one in this series I've ever platinumed.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. But Nathan, I know you've platinumed Bloodborne twice.
Yeah, I got a couple different PSN accounts just for
you're also the only person I know that has multiple accounts.
It's just because if I do want, like, if I did want to do something like that, you can just be like, oh, well, if I want to earn all the trophies again, why not? One of them I barely ever use, but
I'm kind of new to PSN because I never use PS3 online. I'm only doing it with PS4. But like Xbox Live has like a system where you can reset your achievements and then you can start again to 100%.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Does PSN not have that?
I guess not. No.
No, you can't. PSN, like, I know on Xbox Live you can do things like change your name. Yeah. You can't do that on PSN.
It's horseshit. You have to pay $10 to change your name.
But at least it's an option. You know what I mean? Like with PSN, it's just like, totally. Well.
Really?
And I think that's a big reason why you have so many PSN accounts, because you start one and then you're like...
No, the reason I do it is because there's... Hopefully they don't listen to this, but there's certain people on certain accounts where I'm just like... it's not as big a deal anymore, but it used to be like when... Well, you know how sometimes you'd get on Xbox Live and it's like...
People see you like, hey man, what's going on?
40 people that want to join a party or like play some stupid game, and I'm just like...
Yes. Want to fuck off. Play Call of Duty with me right now. It's like, no, motherfucker. Like, I'm playing this. Like, I don't want to do that right now.
I totally get that.
Yeah, I completely understand.
And, well, to go back to your point about the way these games tell stories, I can kind of understand, because, like, it's odd to me how much of the game's stories are usually told. And I mean, by that, I mean Dark Souls and Demon's Soul and all these, you know. And the way so much can be in just like a random item's description that you may not, I mean, when I play these games, most of the items I don't even use. Like, especially in Dark Souls, most of them are, I wouldn't say worthless, because they probably do actually have like a good use. It's just you don't need it, and there's so much exploring. You know, it's just like you don't even think about the fact that you have them.
That's one of my notes is literally like, the item clutter, there's just so much needless stuff. Like, especially, like, the one that really got me was the Molotov cocktail, the rope Molotov cocktail that throws backwards. And I was like, when are you ever going to fucking use that?
Never
like,
used that's one.
Yeah.
Why is that even in this game?
It's well, just... one way that Bloodborne did kind of try to remedy that was they made the healing like a dedicated button instead of scrolling through. And I did read...
And that's great. I like that.
I feel like I read an interview with Miyazaki where he said basically that was the reason they did that. It's like, well, people have all these items, but they don't want to be off of their, in Dark Souls' case, the Estus Flask. They don't want to be away from that because you need it a lot, especially if you're just playing these for the first time. You're getting your ass beat all the time. Mm-hmm. You're not going to scroll through all this stuff because you're too afraid to be... not on your healing item. So it's like, well, we'll just assign it to its own button that might encourage people to experiment a little bit more. I think it worked for the most part. I probably used items a little bit more in this game than I have, but convenient. Yeah, so, and I don't remember where I saw that interview at, that was a good idea, I thought. And they went back to the old way for Dark Souls 3.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that game is, you scroll through.
Yeah, you scroll through. I mean,
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I forgot that's how the Estus Flask worked, because I was playing Bloodborne and I was like lamenting. Me and my wife played this game. She loves the lore and like she's really into it and like the aesthetic and everything, and then like it gets like 40-50% in and then she's like, it's too hard, I don't want to do it, and then you take over, Ryan. But we were talking, I was just complaining to her the entire time. I was like, why miss the Estus flask? Like, I really wish, like, you know, you had this thing that refilled every time you got to a checkpoint and all this. I forgot that it was an item slot that is gone just, if you're using something else. Yeah, and that's,
which I wouldn't necessarily say that that's like a big deal for me personally, but I do like how they did it in Bloodborne more.
Just, I think I do too. What is now.
A triangle that heals? It's like, mm-hmm. it's always the heal button, no matter what. And I understand they don't do that in Dark Souls because that's the button you use to switch to two-handed with your weapon, I believe.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that could lead into the next thing that I really like about Blood. I know it's kind of going all over the place here.
No, but like, it's but really with this game, you kind of have to. There's no way to talk about it in a very linear fashion because this game's not linear.
The transformable weapons, I think. I know a lot of people complain about Bloodborne. They say, there's only like... I think after the DLC, there's maybe like 20, 25 weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of those weapons is at least decent. Like Dark Souls has a lot of weapons where it's just like, why?
Not only are they decent, they're also unique. Whereas yeah, like in Dark every Souls, one of them, you're going to have like 14 short swords.
There's, yeah, it's like, not nearly that bad, but there are like two or three item or weapons in Bloodborne that I felt were a little too similar. But like otherwise, you're like, that's a big giant fucking wheel, or this is like a giant bone saw cleaver thing.
Here's a short sword that's suddenly a fucking massive hammer.
Yeah.
And you know,
you have like a stake pile driver thing that shoots out a stake. Like they really do some unique weapons here. And the minimization of that, like getting it down to like a few really good, unique, interesting weapons mm-hmm. is a fantastic choice. Yeah. I really do like that.
And yeah, like you're saying, there's so many like samey kind of weapons in Dark mm-hmm. Souls, which there's some cool weapons in Dark Souls, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. like, you know, you have your ultra great swords, they have different move sets and stuff for an example, but they have their different move sets, but they're all basically I'm going to mm-hmm. be swinging this really slow thing around and whatever, you know, they're fine for that setting. But I think if you had Bloodborne but you just had weapons like that, it just wouldn't really
mm-hmm.
you know. And it also kind of, to me, Bloodborne is more about, as much as a Dark Souls or a Souls game can at least, I don't think that you're meant to feel as helpless as you do in Dark Souls, as you in Bloodborne, because obviously you're still pretty weak at the beginning of the game, mm-hmm. but like,
you are a it master gives you, hunter.
There's like yeah. a guy here and he's like, all right, I'm going to give you one of these three weapons right off the bat, and they're all pretty cool. And they're all, I mean, the Saw Cleaver is one of the best weapons in the game, you know, and the axe is.
I used the threaded cane because that's what Laura wanted.
That's, you know, the hardest one.
That's still a solid weapon though. Yeah, like none of those weapons suck. It's not like most games would give you like mm-hmm. say you're playing, I don't know, Destiny or something. It's like the first gun you get fucking sucks.
Yeah,
and then you immediately
by the way, for all my Destiny friends, Karstov.
You immediately move on because you know that gun sucks,
mm-hmm.
and you find better things pretty quickly. Well. Theoretically, I haven't played Destiny in a while, but I remember not. It is a loot grind ever.
Yeah,
but
I waited till the Taken King, and you find stuff very quickly.
But anyway, I don't want to digress too much. But you guys are really. We need to stay on topic, guys.
All right. God damn it! God damn it!
I mean,
let's forget that entire 10-minute intro, Nathan. God damn it,
guys! Can we just please? Talk about Bloodborne.
So, yeah. All right. So,
wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to finish. But to me, like, Bloodborne, you still are a weakling in comparison to how you'll end up and compared to a lot of the monsters, especially, and the enemies. But your guy is a much more capable fighter than you are in Dark. Because, like, you're way faster. The game is, like, constantly encouraging you to. If you're going from Dark Souls to this game, it's like, well, I'm used to having my shield and being safe, relatively safe behind it, and I can kind of...
You have to be more aggressive.
Yeah, it's like...
The regaining health system plays
right,
into
that. Right, like your character basically has like a bloodlust in this game, and it's like, and it's storyline-wise, and that's how they're really good at tying the world into the gameplay mechanics, you know what I mean? Because you're encouraged to like... like, oh, well, if you just keep slashing at this thing after it's dead, you're going to get some of your health back, you know, and that's really useful. Obviously, you want as much health back as you can get, so just keep fucking mm-hmm. killing him, even though he's laying there dead on the ground, you know. It's and there's another thing about the insight. When you see a monster, it, you know, like I said earlier, when you see, when Lovecraft's characters would see his monsters, they would go insane. Which it's not awesome. Quite as extreme yeah. in this game, but there's the insight can be used for a lot of things, but it's also, if the higher it is, the higher your frenzy, or the lower your frenzy resistance gets, which frenzy's a status, what's the word I'm looking for?
Status effect.
Yeah, what's status like effect. Poison or... Yeah, which basically kills you. If you get
it, does it really quickly. Really
close yeah, to death. Like yeah. if you're not full health and you don't have like a fair amount of health, it'll probably just kill you.
Which is
yeah.
why I hate those fucking blood sucking head motherfuckers.
Well, there's those and the
like the lantern eye, things. The giant eye people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. The winter lanterns are fucking crazy.
Which those things have the same dress on as the doll in mm-hmm. the.
They do. And yeah. that's.
I don't know what that means exactly, but
and that's the thing is like this game finishes, and I'm just like, all right, so I've been hit over the head with themes about like pregnancy and the female body. There's vaginal monsters, and you have to collect the three umbilical cords to get the ending. And then who's the queen? Yharnam, the Blood Queen, has like the white dress at the end. You see her and like the blood spot where there's probably an abortion or a miscarriage that happened C-section. Or something. And like the second to last boss is the wet nurse, and you have all these like thematic things, but like the game ends, I'm like, what the fuck? Like yeah, there's yeah. still like, I could not tell you like what any of it means. And I specifically did not go onto the forums to research, because like I did want this to be a true experience where it's me trying to explore as much as I can. And I actually did this with this game. Dark Souls, I was like, I don't want to stray off the path because, like, I'm afraid of dying. Like, I want to beat it and just be done because, like, it is so hard. This one, I went branching paths, and I still didn't find anything. You were talking about the Kanehurst Castle earlier. I never fucking got there, and I tried. Like, I tried to do 100% of the stuff in this game, and it's still
impossible
can't.
Without a guide. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so many optional bosses, too. Like, mm-hmm. Who's...
I'll tell you.
There's only like six that you have yeah. to fight.
Yeah.
I think it's Gascoigne, the dude in the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Amelia.
Vicar Amelia.
The Shadows of Yharnam, those three mm-hmm. dudes in the graveyard. Or not a graveyard, the woods, you have like to, the Forbidden Woods.
I think you have to fight Rom, the spider.
Because you fight him or her, whatever, and right after the Shadows. And then Murgo, Mikalash.
Mikalash.
Who's mm-hmm. That's one of the worst boss fights ever, I think. I hated that.
It is terrible, yeah.
Bosses are hit and miss. This is my note.
I like every...
Highlights. Vicar Amelia, I think, is a fantastic just aesthetic design. Mikalash, Host of the Nightmare, because at least it does something different and stands out. Whereas, like,
once you learn how to chase yeah. him around, it's not that bad. But the first time I fought him, I was just running around. I was like, what the fuck are you supposed to do here?
I am such a hater. And I don't really mean to be, because I'd say, like, my experience with this game was overall fine to good. Like, I was a little disappointed with some of it.
You did enjoy Dark Souls, didn't you?
I think, looking back, I enjoyed Dark Souls more than Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes a lot to, like, the gameplay mechanics. You're talking about, like, the shield and your weaker. Like, I kind of like that slower pace where you have the shield to, like, stop and think about attacks. And you can get back and, like, react more. Whereas this game is very twitchy compared to Dark Souls. And that's... not a bad thing. It's not damning. Like, a lot of people do prefer this style. I just don't myself. But when it comes to the bosses, like, I didn't see with Lugarius, like, mm-hmm. because that was the Kanehurst. I completely missed that side quest. But, like, the rest of the bosses, like, there are a few highlights. But, like, I thought they all kind of just blend together. They just become, like, big blobby beasts of just bodies. Or werewolf or hare, and that's it. Because, like, this game is very, very, very visually impressive when it comes to the technical aspects. Like, they render hair and cloth and blood so well. But when it comes to, like, the actual art design and the aesthetics, I think a lot of it's a little bit repetitive.
There are a lot of like city,
yes, yeah,
you know, Victorian city mm-hmm. settings, and you know that is a complaint I've heard from other people too,
and I just think that carries into the boss design too. And it's a very, some of the boss designs are a little repetitive.
There's no like
especially the hunters. The hunters, I could not tell you how to distinguish one from another. I think they all just bleed together.
Except for the chick that wears the crow outfit.
Eileen the Crow. And then the very last guy.
Gearman.
Which, if we want to spoil or not, but like the very final hunter of the game is visually different. But all of the other ones in the middle just kind of bleed together.
There are just a lot of like random hunters walking around, which there's more that like stand out, like the guy at the mounted machine gun in Old William, yeah. Jura, I think his name is. He stands out, and I hate that fucking guy so much, but I kill him every time.
I hate that whole fucking section of the game.
I do too, and I think it's the labyrinthian level design. It becomes really easy to get lost and confused. Up there,
I feel too.
That's when the game takes like this absurd difficulty spike.
Yeah.
Because it's that, and then you go to like the Nightmare Menses, which again is more onto the theme of the periods and the fertility stuff. But that it just becomes so insanely hard and obtuse. But going back to that guy in the tower with that mounted gun, like, the situation is very different and unique, but like you look at that character and like I can't tell you what he even fucking looked like. I just remember the gun.
You can't really, I mean, you see him, but you can also buy his clothing mm-hmm. from the Insight shop in
which I think
in
we
the
did,
old but... Hunter's, or what is it called, Hunter's Dream. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's how I, because he's got like the eye patch sort of thing over him, which, and the gray kind of ash colored mm-hmm. clothing, which I think he stands out all right, but I get what you're saying. Like, just the random ones that show up occasionally to fight you, like,
because they're not a lot,
but they're pretty much just like faceless, nameless characters. They're not necessarily meant to, like, they don't talk to you, and they don't like mm-hmm. they fight you, but and that's kind of the thing too.
They're
in
like
the story,
mini bosses,
yeah,
they're not full on bosses, but they're
I feel
mini
like
bosses.
A lot of times they're harder than most
I do
of the
too.
Bosses.
They're
like
very annoying.
The hardest enemy in the game. I think
is the guy that kills Eileen the Crow.
Yeah, he's got like the metal Kanehurst mask and the crow feather garb on.
Dude, he's a fucking hardcore fucker.
He uses the Chikage, the katana, which I guess if you didn't go to Kanehurst, you probably never saw. But like,
nope, I guess I didn't.
Yeah, and you have to follow
Eileen's quest line,
which hers isn't really that complex. Once you only talk to her like three times, yeah. And you don't have to really. Well, you got to fight that one dude in the where you fought Gascoigne the.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I think that's where I lost her the first time.
I'll tell you, I missed the Kanehurst Castle completely because I did research afterwards.
You should, if you ever just bored, check it out because it's probably the coolest area of the game.
I missed the Upper Cathedral Ward.
That part's tough.
And then I did none of the Yosefka stuff. Like, I did not follow up on her questline at all. Like, I just couldn't find her again.
I don't remember. It's been a while since I played the game, but... Do you have a save just like at the end of the game or anything?
The only save I guess I have is after beating it. I don't know if
so you got to start over again.
Yeah, so I'll have to do New Game Plus to go in.
It's a lot easier the second time around, especially. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, what weapons and stuff were you
using? The weapon I went was, it was one of the saw cleavers, because I know there's the starting one that's like a bone saw thing, but it was one of the ones you have to buy
the
second time.
The saw spear?
It might have been, yeah.
Because, like, the saw cleaver is more, like, rectangular.
It's this thing, and then it opens up like a switchblade knife.
Yeah, and it's got, like, a pointed blade as opposed to the squared-off one.
Yeah,
that's
what I use.
That's the saw spear. Mm-hmm. Those two weapons, the only real difference is the moveset is different, because I think the spear has, like, a stabby, like an R2.
Yeah,
I use the saw spear for most of the game. Well, actually, I take that back. I use the hunter axe.
Okay, yeah, that's a good weapon.
I did
the
saw spear, and then at the very end, I was playing around with the double sword combination. The one that's a sword and then sword and gun, and then you can do two swords and then lose your gun.
Did you get it in the DLC?
No, I did not get the DLC.
So I'm thinking of the Rikuyo or...
It wasn't that. It was a specific name, and it ended with sword. It was like something sword.
Yeah.
But it was just a regular sword, and you had your gun for the deflection, and then your alternate was you put the gun away and you have two swords, and it's like very quick. And I was experimenting with that.
Eileen's weapon is
The Blade of Mercy?
Yes, that's what it is. Blade of Mercy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's her weapon, actually.
Yeah, it's a really cool one. Mm-hmm. And I like that. It's really fast.
Yes, and that's what I go to in these games. Like, I'm never, like, the tank, big, strong hits. Like, I'm the quick. So I can get in there real quick and then back away if I need to. And
you know, speaking of equipment in this game, that one thing that Dark Souls 3 did take from Bloodborne is, and I didn't even really notice it in Dark Souls 3 till I was like probably at least halfway through the game the first time, was that you don't upgrade your armor in 3. Like, and really? Bloodborne's armor does make a difference as far as like the stats go, but there's no weight limit.
When you get the resistance
stuff. Yeah, but there's no weight limit in the game for rolling because you're always doing the mm-hmm. quick rolls. I think I've heard that there is one that makes it like a hidden weight limit thing that determines how fast your stamina rebuilds, but if there is, I've never noticed it.
In Dark Souls or in Bloodborne?
Bloodborne. There definitely is in Dark Souls, but in Bloodborne, like as far as like how quick your character can move, it doesn't matter what you've got equipped. You could have the Logarius wheel and the Holy Blade, and you're still going to move just as quick, you know? And so I thought that was interesting because I remember I've never really played Dark Souls 2 that much, but I know in 1 you upgraded armor if you wanted to, which I don't think anybody ever does. So I think that's why they just said, well, if nobody's going to do this.
I don't think I did when I played through Dark Souls.
I think I did just because I ran, you know, weapon. I had stuff and I had the weapons I wanted.
My swords and my shields, but yeah. I don't remember doing armor.
You can do armor in the first one, but 3 they got rid of that because I think it's, you know, some people might look at it as simplifying things a little too much, which whatever. But you know, to me, it's just like, well, if you just want to wear armor because it looks cool, mm-hmm. it's still going to make a difference in your stats. But at least you can don't have to worry about like leveling it up and like worrying. You know, it's just pointless to have that many things to level up. I think they really refined it with 3. I think.
Yeah,
we call that fashion souls.
Yeah,
and that's another thing too is. I don't know if I'm as much of a fan of the leveling system in Bloodborne. I don't remember how it was in Dark Souls, but like the different types of blood crystals you have to use. I get kind of like the difficulty wall that enforces like, well, we don't want you to level up to level 10 on this weapon. So you can do the first 3 levels. And then once you get to this area, then you can find these new types of crystals.
That's level the way up. It works in Dark Souls as well.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like in Dark Souls, it's Titanite. And in this game, it's like blood.
That's
Titanite
right.
slabs, chunks. Yep. And
I just think it's a little needlessly complicated. Like, I get the play the game the way the maker wants you to. But at the same time, like, I don't know if I like that anymore, especially like being adult with limited time. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you, the most frustrated part is not the difficulty. It's like, I only have 2 hours to play a game tonight because my life's fucking busy. And this might be the only 2 hours I get all week. And so if I'm playing an hour and a half and then I fucking die and start over, like, sure, I fucking learned. But I also lost an hour and a half of like game time that I could put to something else. So I kind of, everybody's like beating their chest about like how difficult this game is, and it's like, oh, it's like the back in the old days. Oh, you mean when you were a fucking child and you had all the time in the world? Like, yeah that's super cool if this is going to be your main game for life. But like, I kind of like how Nintendo does it, where it's like, we're going to make games like, I'm thinking specifically like Super Mario World 3D
with the
world.
White raccoon suit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what, that easy option is there if you need it. Or you can get through the game, and it's probably pretty easy or normal or whatever. You have to put in a little bit of work, not too much. But if you want to get these stars, to get all 3 stars, you have to really do some difficult work. And like, that's kind of how I like games. Like, make it more accessible for people. Like, I'm not saying like tutorials. I'm not saying tutorials.
But are you
like,
one of the types that would advocate for a difficulty system for these types of games?
No, I just think it could be reworked with like how you level up. Like, maybe let the leveling be easier. Let it be a system that could be used if needed. But like, don't over utilize like tutorials. Don't have a difficulty system. Make some of the harder bosses like optional, like the Kanehurst Castle that I never fucking found. Like, make Ligarius like the hardest boss in the game or something. Like Kingdom Hearts, even like. There's Sephiroth in the first Kingdom Hearts game, and he's like the hardest thing in the world. You don't have to fucking do it, but it's there for people who really want to. And I think that's how the difficulty should be in these games. I do understand why people do gravitate towards it. It just, it's hard for me at this point in my life. Bro.
It's not your cup of tea.
But the thing is, it's so fucking frustrating because, like, I love the world and I love everything. I do want to, but, like, at the same time, the game's a little impenetrable that it gets to the point where, like, I don't want to explore and I don't want to do this because, like, I only have so much time. I kind of just had to push forward, and it's just, it's a hard give and take, and I just, I don't know. It's, you're right. I mean, ultimately, I can complain all I want to, but this game is not meant for me, and there are millions of people who love the Souls games for what they are, and I'm so happy for them, and I just wish it was more for me. Because I do like what I see there, and I want to love this game. I want to love all these games, but they're just not quite there. I would not say they're bad games, and I would not shit on them, but I don't know.
I think that the well, we commented earlier that the community of these games is just, I mean, there's cool people in it. Like, I was going to
say,
else,
you can't say they're all terrible, because there are some really cool and there's really some people that want to help out and inform. Yeah, and like I'm saying more like him.
Like I said, Sriracha is delicious, and definitely people like it. But there are people who are fucking obnoxious about it. And that's how, and it's with anything on the internet. Like, you're only going to hear the worst of the worst. You're not going to hear the cool people. Yeah, exactly. And that's what you hear with the Souls community. You hear the shitty fucking people.
Get more so than,
yeah, you hear that more than, like, the actual helpful people. And there are. I will say, while we're still talking about Bloodborne, the multiplayer, I thought, was a little bit more broken than it was in Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to get to work.
I never, like, what is the beckoning bell the one you use to get
there's also
people?
Just not, I mean, especially if you just played it recently, like Dark Souls 3 just came out, so a lot of the community is probably there.
Because
I didn't get to play Bloodborne until about 6 months after it came out.
I just played it a month to 2 months ago.
Yeah, so like, and I could still find, I don't really do PvP in these games that much. I'll do it occasionally just out of boredom, but it's not the focus for me.
Yeah.
But as far as finding, like, co-op partners or something, it's I could really find them on occasion because the game was still fairly active, but, like,
when I played it harder. Launch, and I found a, it depending on bosses and where everybody else in the world was at that point, but I remember, like, the very first boss, the dude on the bridge.
Oh.
What is his fucking name? The Cleric Beast.
Cleric Beast.
I helped, like, probably 15 people fight that in one night just because I knew what to do, and it was a fun boss fight, and I was like, fuck it, I got this bell.
I was doing that the other
I'll
night.
I'll tell you, as soon as I got the bell, I put it on. I had not one single person help me through the entire game, and I had it on the entire time, but I had
dozens. Okay, sorry.
Constantly. But I had dozens and dozons and dozons of PvPers come in and just fucking invaders. Make my life harder. See,
again, at that point, when people have moved on.
And it really kicks up, surprisingly, towards the end of the game, where it's already super hard. And, like, I was 90% of the way done, but that last 10% was, like, half of my fucking game play time.
Was
because
people invading.
People coming in, and it's already, like, ramped up in difficulty, so it just, what was, like, a pretty leisurely, pleasant experience really left a shitty, sour taste in my mouth because of that at the end. So I will put that out there, too. Like, maybe some of my negative feelings are because, like, that last 10% of the game is ridiculously tough.
After you fight all the PvP, it gets a lot harder.
Yeah.
Like, when you go into, what is that area called? Before the Nightmare of Mensis, when you fight
is it the
One Reborn?
The Library? No.
Which is, like, the,
I see. I don't know it well enough.
The Souls game kind of have that tradition of having a bunch of people around a place where you fight someone, and they're either buffing the boss up or shooting shit at you or something.
Oh, like the arena, and you have all the.
It's like the one in Demon's Souls.
It's the One Reborn. Is it that one?
Yeah, and it looks like just a bunch of, like, bodies, basically. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
but, it's like the boss in Demon's Souls when you're fighting the big Tower Knight, I think it's called, and you have to go around and kill those dudes with the,
all the archers,
crossbows,
the crossbow dudes.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, similar setup at least, but it's like the bell ringing women and they're like shooting fireballs and shit.
That is when they come about too. Is that?
Yeah, and that part of the game is, I would say it's probably where the game really kind of ramps up. Like,
you're talking like that church level, and there's all the amygdalas too, right? And there's the bell ringing women that are bringing in the people made of blood.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
part is very fucking annoying too.
And again, it's just very confusing level design wise, because you're going up and down all kinds of stairs and into towers, and you're closed off, and you go back out to open, and like, and because everything looks the same aesthetically, like it doesn't distinguish itself visually, you're just like, I've been here, right?
That's right before you get to Mikolash, because you start seeing all the people with the cage heads.
Yeah, the Nightmare of Mensis, because you kill the one reborn, and then you go into this room, and it transports you to there, I think, if I remember right. It's been a while since I played it, but yeah. Nightmare of Mensis is probably...
That's where I got hard stopped. It wasn't
that
like...
That was a tough part.
I felt like I was always kind of making progress, and it was always, like, slow going, but, like, when I got to Nightmare of Mensis with that brain in the tower flashing you the frenzy, that's when, like, immediately it was like, well, here's a three-hour game session where I made no fucking progress, and I turn off, and maybe I'll try it again fucking next week, and we'll see how it goes.
That part is very, very, very unforgiving. Mm-hmm. And that's the way, you know... All Souls games.
It's also pretty much the last part of the game.
It is. That's, like I said, like that last 10% gets super difficult.
Because that technically can be the last part of the game, if you, depending on a decision you make. I won't spoil it. But when you talk to the, basically when you talk to the guy at the end, and he gives you like a couple options.
Yeah.
Depending on what you do there,
you could go the Murgle's
Wet Nurse is
the final boss, or maybe not.
Yeah. There's. There could be two more after that if you do certain things.
It's either zero, one more boss, or two more bosses, depending on how you pick. And I'll say my ending was the one more boss.
So you didn't use the three umbilical cords?
Because I completely, and I told Nathan while you're in the bathroom, I completely missed ISF because whole quest line. So I didn't get
there's technically, there's four of them in the game. You only need three, though.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. There's one.
Because I know Ariana.
There's one in Yosefka's clinic. There's one Ariana gives you when she gives birth to that weird baby thing. Where's the other
one? You get
there's one in the old hunter's dream that you find. It's like an optional area, too.
Oh, so I didn't know that. I know one's like storyline progression. You get one. I think it's Murgo's Wet Nurse. You get one just for meeting her.
Yeah, I think
her.
She drops one.
You get one automatically.
How many people did you send to the safe zone, the church?
Just Ariana.
Just Ariana? That was the only one?
That's the only one I could find.
I sent her. I sent the old lady. And I actually, I didn't know this because I didn't follow a guide, but I sent the dude that turns into a beast there.
Oh,
yeah.
That dude is a fucking asshole. Because there's a guy that looks like a person, but he's really a beast that's pretending to be a human.
Okay.
And you send him there, and if, like, he'll kill everybody there too, right? It's,
yeah, after a while, he'll start killing people in the...
But you don't know who's doing it. They just start dying.
Yeah.
And then you talk to him outside, and he reveals his true nature, and he turns into a super fucking tough, hard boss. Yeah, it's so hard.
Oh, he's no, I miss that.
That version of, the beast version of him is like a Chalice Dungeon boss occasionally. Because Chalice Dungeons are just like generic versions of monsters.
You go ahead and talk about the Chalice Dungeons, because I did none of them. Because as soon as I finished with Bloodborne, I was like, I'm done. I don't want to do any more extra dungeons or whatever. So you guys talk about the Chalice Dungeons. I'm going to go pee.
Go ahead.
All right. Well,
I thought, what is it? It's the watchdog of. It's like one of the first Chalice Dungeon bosses, and it's like a flame breathing dog.
Yeah,
thing.
I know what you're talking about.
It reminds me a lot of the thing you fight on the bridge in Dark Souls 3, actually.
Oh yeah, the big like kind
of the six-eyed dragon monster sort of thing.
Yeah,
that reminds me like a lot
big
of like
the chest that opens up like the gaping dragon.
Yeah.
In Dark Souls 1,
but it's like the watchdog of Karen, I think. Or Quran, something I want to say.
Yeah, I don't remember what they're called, but Chalice Dungeons are a weird thing because they put them in there just to, I think, basically extend the life of the game after you finish it.
To
you know,
be
it's
a
like,
challenge.
Yeah, and it's and some of them are
they
pretty
are
challenging.
A challenge,
but like,
yeah.
If you don't start doing them till after your guy's like pretty buff, you know, and you've got all the weapons leveled up that you need, those first like, I don't know, first several Chalice Dungeons.
How many
you
do you have
through?
To beat to get the trophy? It's like 10?
Something like that, probably.
I
don't remember.
But there's more than that.
It's hard to... Oh, yeah, there's way more than that. There's some I never even fucked with just because I thought they were boring. But basically, like, you can make... You have to have items that you find throughout the game or in other Chalice Dungeons, which, like, oh, here's the ritual blood that you find, and there's different levels of that ritual blood, 1, 2, up to 5, I think.
And all the different chalice or cups.
Yeah, and there's just different kinds of items that you have to have. So, like, if you want to do those chalice dungeons to get the platinum trophy, you're going to do a lot of them. You know what I mean? You're going to have to probably farm a little bit, which I'm not doing a very good job of explaining chalice dungeons, but they're basically just, most of them are like randomly generated and they feel that way. They're just like,
they're very
copy pasted hallways and like
very stark.
Some of them are always the same, but a lot of them are just like,
they're a good idea in concept, but not in execution.
I wouldn't have done more than like a couple of them unless I had to, just to see all the, you know, enemies of the game, basically.
Well, and that is a cool thing that I like about it, but it's not enough incentive. But there are enemies in chalice dungeons which you will never see in the regular storyline.
Enemies or bosses?
Both.
There's a couple different kinds of enemies that you don't really see, and I can think of a few, but a lot of the bosses are just recycled from the main game.
But there are some that are completely unique.
That's what I thought
would
be. I did not think they would actually put in new content.
But there are for real enemies that you will never see in the game, too. Like those big, there's like 3 fat brother dudes.
Yeah. They're like these big fat guys that, one of them has like a gun, like this big gun. The other one's got like a sword, and I don't remember what the other one is.
The other one's got like a big shield or maybe a big hammer.
Something like that. And they're mostly pretty easy for the
they're
most
very,
part.
Once you figure them out, like most things in these games.
But the thing about the chalice, to get the trophy, if you want it, the platinum, you have to finish a certain amount of them. And there's one called the Defiled something. I don't remember what it's. Mm-hmm. And you have to fight Amygdala with half of your health, because this dungeon, when you're in it, your health is halved in every part of it. But when you get to this boss, it can basically one-shot you. Even if you had a shitload of health, so it was cut down and you still had a fair amount, it would probably still kill you most of the time in one hit. And that's probably the only part of this game that I got really hung up on. And it was mostly just because I'd get really pissed off at it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you could be fighting this thing for like 10 or 15 minutes and you don't do shit damage to it either. Like, it, you know, you're just constantly wailing on it and it's not doing anything, and it can just end the fight immediately if you're not careful, you know. And probably only actually fought it like a total of 15 or 20 times, but each one of those was at least 5 minutes a piece, you know. And it's just one of the most frustrating things I've ever done in a game, I think. And but going back to what you're talking about with the difficulty of these games, like, I don't disagree that they're obviously not new player friendly, you know what I mean? I do think that they've been making them easier as they've went along, though. Like, Demon Souls is one of the most obtuse fucking
Demon's
games.
Souls is so fucking ridiculous.
Like, I just completely skipped it.
Yeah,
it's okay.
They don't explain a fucking thing in that game. And there's so many, like, NPC interactions that you can just completely miss, or they're so easy to fuck up, or you might not even ever find them, you know what I mean? And Dark Souls is kind of like that, but they made it a little more accessible, I guess. I haven't played Dark Souls 2, but I know Dark Souls 3, like I was saying, they got rid of a lot of the armor stuff. Like, it's a lot more refined as far as that goes. And but as far as the difficulty of the games, I didn't finish Demon's Souls, but it's fairly tough. But I feel like once you finish one of them, the rest of them are going to be way easier. Because it's sort of like playing a Zelda game in that, like, the first time you ever played a Zelda, you're probably like, I don't know what the fuck to do. I'm lost. I don't understand how anything works, really. But then you kind of get that Zelda logic, for lack of a better term, I guess. But like,
no, that's,
yeah, where it's like,
that's really
oh,
good.
Well, of course I have to push the block here. But if you're showing that for the first time to anyone else, they'd be like, so you got to shoot an arrow through that torch and hit this thing across the, like, I would have never fucking thought of that. And just stuff like that, you know? And the Souls games and Bloodborne are like that, too. It's like, once you figure out, like, the dodging and just, you know that you can't sit there and wail on something for too long, because it's probably going to do something to stop you.
And just how the game punishes you, too. Yeah, like, immediately from Bloodborne,
you know,
out the gate. Like,
you learn not
I'm easing around corners, looking around, because I know how the game works.
I think most people, the first time they played a Souls game, they're walking around like this with a shield up, you know, just constantly like, all right, what's about to jump out here and fucking kill me next, you know?
And then something's going to slam that shield and themselves to the ground.
Yeah. And I I remember the first time I played Dark Souls. I hadn't played, or I think I'd played Demon Souls for like a really short time, but Dark Souls was the first one I really got into. And I would get to like, what's the first area? The Undead Burg or whatever. Or Undead.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
The Undead Burg.
And, well, I did like everybody else does, where you run down into the graveyard with the skeletons and they fuck you up like immediately.
Yeah,
But
down into the catacombs.
I think everyone does that at least once. Because it's like, you know, most games, it's like, well, I'm facing this way. I'm looking at a staircase. That's probably where I go. And it's not, you know. And but I remember going to the Undead Burg and just walking through there and just getting fucked up by the most basic enemies in the game, the hollowed people or whatever.
Yeah, the skeletons, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, what the fuck are you supposed to do here? Like, I can't get 10 feet into this game without just getting destroyed, you know? And but after a while, like, I didn't really think about it, but, like, I was playing it again, I don't know, a little while after that, you know, after I'd finished the game, and it's just like, you're not going to fucking die on those things anymore. You know what I mean? You're not going to die on bullshit. Occasionally, maybe. But
again, but that's the thing that I do like about it is that if you do just laze around and fuck about, you totally can still get your ass kicked pretty quickly.
The dudes that aren't even knights, just the hollows and like the fucking togas, and they have like broken swords. You get like five of those things.
They will fucking wreck you.
Yeah, they can kill you in like a couple seconds. But, and I'm not saying it would never happen to me again, but it happens with way less often.
Because you know what's to come. And that's the thing that Souls games really capitalize on, is teaching you through failure. Like, oh, well, that fucking kicked and my ass. I'm obviously not supposed to do that.
It rewards patience. Yeah. Like, this game really rewards patience.
The consequences for dying in these games isn't really as bad as it seems either. Like, you're not going to lose too much, like, distance, because most of the areas are actually fairly short. It's the time you spend looking around them that makes them seem longer. But if you start at like Central Yharnam and go to Gascoigne, that's not really that long of a distance, really. Mm-hmm. And especially once you know how to not get murdered every 5 seconds, you know, like, you're just gonna go through and it take you 5 minutes, you know what I mean? And and Bloodborne also has pretty generous invincibility frames on the dodging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, like, I'm sure someone out there knows the answer to this, but, like, it's definitely different from the Dark Souls games. I don't know if the Dark Souls games have gotten more like that as they've went on, because rolling, you only roll in the other ones unless you got that one ring.
Demon Souls had massive invincibility frames. That's what I remember about that game. And so fucking forgiving.
But Bloodborne, it's like, they know that you have to have dodging down, you know? It's like, because at least if you can't roll very well, you're not good at dodging, at least you have a shield in Dark Souls. But in Bloodborne, you don't have it. It's either parry it or dodge it. Mm-hmm. So they kind of made it a little more.
You do the same thing in Bloodborne. You just parry with the gun now.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you can either do that or you can dodge. There's no shield. Well, there is a shield, but it's not. It's a joke weapon, you know?
Yep.
I think it was kind of a...
Fuck that troll. Yeah.
There is one.
Did you fall for it?
I fell for that. I was super pissed.
It has its uses, actually. I've never used it myself, but in PvP, people use it. There's a gun in the game called the Evelyn, which is super powerful. It's probably a little overpowered. And a lot of people use that shield in that situation because it can block bullets. Because this gun, I don't want to get too much into it, but like basically it levels off of your blood tinge stat. And if you get that up to like 50, then this gun, is, along with the bone marrow ash, you remember that stuff?
Yeah, to make your bullets stronger.
I mean, it'll do so much damage. And a lot of people use it to counteract that. And there is also another shield that actually has use, or a useful function, rather, in the DLC, the Old Hunters.
Okay.
I don't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but it can block, like magic stuff for a while. Mm-hmm. I've never really used it. Once you get used to not having a shield, it's kind of, you know, you don't really think about it. But anyway, like, Bloodborne is, you know, encouraging you to be more aggressive, it kind of needs to give you the tools to do that. You couldn't have the same frames of invincibility where they're much, I think they must be much lower in the Souls games, you know, because you're going to get, you're getting your ass kicked, because that's your only method of not getting hit, basically.
So, since we're airing some grievances, I will say my one big complaint with the entire Souls series is that as an action third-person RPG, there is such a fucking reliance on farming, especially towards end game, that really kills a lot of the funness of this series.
Like, unless you do glitches or whatever.
Well, like, you know, say you want to level up your weapon to the max level, it's going to take so much
as you have to go the same enemy one area, one chunk. Probably clear out the whole area to get one chunk, but oh wait, maybe, you need 10 chunks.
Maybe you get that one chunk. Yeah. Even the drop rate is so minuscule. It's not like something that you can go fight a guaranteed hard enemy and get that. It's...
Well, and that goes back to my thing is like, you know what? You fix that problem, and then you have a game that's more accessible to people. And then it still has the same difficulty. And you don't have to farm.
I'm okay with farming, especially in an RPG. And this game, all of them are, I guess, an RPG in a sense. But it's so non-traditional in the way that it is an RPG that that hardcore reliance on farming gets grindy to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the worst degree.
They did fix one thing with that, with the weapon upgrades, was that before, like, the DLC came out, there was only one, like, basically the Titanite slab of this game is the Blood Rock.
Yeah.
And there's only one of, prior to the DLC, there's only one in the entire game, and it was in a, not super out of the way place, but it wasn't something you would just stumble on, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you had to kind of know where it was, I think. And when they put the DLC out, there's another one in that, plus like a shitload, because there's new weapons in it too. So they're like, well, we can't give you all these new weapons and have you fighting probably the hardest enemies in the game at that point with level one weapons or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So, and then they also made it where the inside shop would sell chunks and rocks. Okay. Like, now the Blood Rock does cost like 60 insight, which is a lot.
That is a whole lot. Yeah,
but you could, if you went through the game and you were picking up all the madman's knowledge items, and
you could totally,
you would have it. You know, you might not be able to buy an unlimited amount of them, but you would find them, or you'd be able to get a couple probably. And
well, thank God for the internet for fixing mistakes that happens on launch games.
So. Yeah. So,
well, I don't know, man. I guess as a whole, I would rank Bloodborne maybe my number third. Number three.
Behind one and three of Dark Souls?
Not, it's Demon's Souls, Dark Souls.
Oh, you say Demon's Souls is your...
Demon's Souls always been my favorite. It's the one I started with, it's the one I cut my teeth with, so...
If I was going to have any complaints about Bloodborne, because it's not a perfect game, of course, but I don't like how every time you die, it takes you back to the Hunter's Dream.
Yeah.
I think it should just take you back to your lantern, and if you want to go back... Go for it.
I agree with that.
Because that game's loading times, they're not as bad as they were prior to the first patch.
Launch,
but
it was
they fixed that pretty quickly, but it's still, they're fairly long still.
I wouldn't know. But they're still, 20, 25 seconds.
They used to be closer to like a minute, I think. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like, and this is every time you died, which in a game like this, you don't want that
anymore. Quite frequently.
So, and other than that, some of the stuff you said, like the samey areas, that does get a little old. There are a few standouts that aren't, like, the thing about this game, like, what is there, like, the art direction and the way everything, the atmosphere of the game, it's just so, like, I don't even know. It's just perfect,
cool.
In my opinion.
It works really well. It's Victorian London.
So. But I guess...
I think it was a little rushed because it was a jump to a new console
platform
and new hardware and new... everything, so they didn't have as much time with the art direction to make more varied environments. Because, like, I think back to Dark Souls, which is the only other Souls game I played, and like I can remember all these very different, vivid things, like jumping into that painting world, and then all the fire areas.
Or
I can't even think.
Even,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, like everything
that doesn't look anything like anything else.
Exactly,
Dark Souls or Bloodborne doesn't have the equivalent of like Anor Londo or. What's another one? I don't even know off the top of my head, but just
ruins.
Yeah, just stuff
off Sri Lanka ruins.
Yeah, so like,
but
Bloodborne's got
they focus
city,
on the technical aspect,
Victorian
more.
City, and then you know there are different areas
and
like
then
the
Victorian
woods.
City at night, and then Victorian City at twilight.
Yeah,
and then and cave the area, and then woods area, and then woods area at night with fly people, and then cave area, but this time it's a demon cave area with a yellow light on it. Like it's.
There are a lot of little details I really like in the game, though, that...
I do, too.
You know, I was saying earlier, like, the character is meant to, I think, feel more powerful than you typically would in a Souls game.
And you don't start off as a hollow.
And you get the feeling of that bloodlust that's supposed to be in the character with just like little animation things. Like when you're fighting Vicar Millie, if you stagger her and do a visceral attack. First of all, the visceral attacks are like the most brutal looking. Because if you look.
They feel so good.
You can see your character's hand like become like this clawed. Like it gets bigger.
That's really cool.
And it becomes like pointier. Yeah, and you just like really, you know.
It's cool. It's so subtle.
You have to really. I didn't notice it until someone put pictures of it online. I was like, they had like zoomed in. It's harder to do that on this because there's no PC version. But like, you know, in Dark Souls, they can get pictures of everything because they're on the computer. But but in this, so it's just like little shots people have taken of the hand. But not only that, but with Vicar Amelia, when you do a visceral attack, it's kind of hard to explain without seeing it. But like the way your character does it. He'll like dig his hand basically into like her neck, and he just starts like doing this, and you see her head getting like jerked really hard, and he's like trying to rip his hand out, and then it's real subtle, and it only lasts for like a second, but it's just like, man, this game's so your character's just so much more like ferocious in this game.
He's very violent,
you know, like it's that, you know, like I said, your character
it's more aggressive. It's a more aggressive game.
You're not supposed to sit there and like you have to think about what you're doing, but like. They want you to be in the enemy's face. And that's what I appreciate about it because it's just like Dark Souls, after a couple of those, you know, I'm kind of glad they're taking a break from the Souls games at this point, supposedly.
Which that actually will lead me to my final question of the podcast. Nathan, do you think there will be a Bloodborne 2?
I don't think it'd be anytime soon. I think if there was going to be one anytime soon, they would have announced it already. But
no, there's going to be an Itogi 3, obviously, and that's what Miyazaki should do.
They're going to make Ninja Blade 2, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
No, so, I think they want to
do something completely new.
I think they'll probably make another Armored Core.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean, they talk about that series a lot. Like, Miyazaki's always... Here recently, he's been saying a lot like, "Oh, we'd like to revisit that and everything." But it's like
I think right now, From has pretty much a blank check to do whatever the fuck they want. Because you would everything think has been,
but in today's
really pulled Bandai Namco out of the gutter.
Yeah,
you would think so, but at the same time, like in the environment that, well, just the gaming like environment that exists now, it's like you make one bad game and you're like still kind of a smaller company. I can really fuck you over, you know. Like,
I think at this point, Miyazaki's become almost like a Kojima type figure. He's not quite to that level, but he's very close. He's the closest you have.
He's not is because he's not so personable, not so out there. Whereas Kojima,
he's not in the public. He's not a public figure.
You see Kojima fucking everywhere when he's talking about a Metal Gear. Miyazaki's just like,
but the fan base that Kojima has, Miyazaki has. At least that much.
It's interesting.
So I think if he did a bad game, there'd still be people crazy about. Because
I don't think
people
necessarily
could argue
MGS5
was not a great game.
Yeah.
But people are so excited for Death Stranding and whatever Kojima does. I think that's the same with Miyazaki.
I don't think he's going to make a bad game. Just wonder if, like, you know, if there's not that name on it. Mm-hmm. Bloodborne doesn't have that name on it either, but it's obviously in the same vein as, you know, it's basically one of those, you know. So I don't know. I mean, what do I know about their business plans or anything or what they should be doing?
That's what I'm saying. Do you think that there will be a 2, a sequel to Bloodborne?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they did one later.
I think there definitely will be. It's just a matter of when.
But I think, I don't know. It's kind of funny to me because, like I said, I was glad they're taking a break because they've become like this yearly franchise.
Almost.
There's been one every year for like the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And like, if any other game did that, there would be like, oh, well, it's these fucking...
The Call of Duty shit.
Call of Duty or Assassin's Creed, you know, they just churn them out every year. It's like, well, I'm not saying those games or Dark Souls is on those games level because I think Dark Souls is way better.
Well,
but
that's the thing. There's a different quality difference.
There's a double standard there. I think they're worried about people complaining. Yeah, and but you know, like
I agree and disagree. Because it's like comparing apples to oranges, Call of Duty to Dark Souls. But like, arguably, Call of Duty games have are as good now as they have always been.
If they always look better, really good. They always play fine. It's just
the easy target. Yeah, like, that's exactly what it is.
It's the new Madden, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even though
exactly.
Madden's still around. Now, but the reason is I even...
Nobody cares about Madden anymore.
The reason I say that, though, is because I think Dark Souls 3 was a really awesome game. I had a lot of fun with it. But they're already starting to go back and be like, hey, remember all this shit? Remember On Orlando? Remember Sigurd?
It's a big fan service. Remember much like Metal Gear 4
yeah,
was.
It got really fan servicey, and it's just like, maybe it's time to just let it rest for
exactly.
a while.
I'm fine
know?
With it.
Well,
I don't
the
need
difference
one, so.
There is Metal Gear came 10 years after the original game as opposed to
well, I'm
3
talking like
years.
Metal Gear Solid 4 is generally just a giant love letter to fans.
Yeah,
Metal
but
Gear.
Like... Well, 10 it's years, and it was going to wrap up the whole series, and yeah. It's the goodbye. Like, Dark Souls 3, like, most of us have played Dark Souls, like, within the last few years.
Yeah, it's only 5 years. It's not even 5 years old yet.
It's not so. Been enough time to do that fan service.
Gotcha. Okay, I see where you're
yeah.
going.
And
so.
Also, Kojima wanted to end that series, like, every time he made a yeah. game. He was like, all right, this is
yep.
it for me.
Yeah,
maybe
cool.
someone else will make one.
I'm gonna go away. No, really. So... Well, I guess
real quick. So would you recommend Bloodborne to somebody who has not played any of the Souls games?
Would I? I think it's worth trying at least. I can't guarantee that anyone's going to like it, but like.
But you definitely would recommend.
I would.
It to,
I mean, hell, at this point, what else are you going to play on this fucking not, system? You PS4, know, but like
Uncharted.
But
Uncharted.
Uncharted. Yes, but
Uncharted 4 is fantastic.
Well, we'll talk about that another time.
We'll get
you know what? Uncharted, I like Uncharted 1 through 3, but 4 was like, all right, I'm 3 hours into this fucking game. Am I going to start playing it at any point? Or, and,
all right, we'll have to say this for another podcast
yeah,
because I cannot disagree with
yeah.
you more right now.
And then,
but we can't get into this because Ryan's got to go take care of his dogs.
So all yes. right, so, but yeah, Bloodborne is a great game. Obviously, I feel that way. And
okay.
It's worth, I think, if you're willing to be frustrated with a game for a while, because you probably will be. Even I, as someone who played other games in the series, when I first started playing it, it was really difficult to get used to that.
It does, to the mob mentality and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the way that, you know, the games prior to it had conditioned you to play a certain way, for the most part. And they're like, all right, well, we want you to do the exact opposite of everything you've been doing. Like, wait, I mean, there's always been parrying in these games, and it still operates mostly the same, but like I've talked about before, just your way, you're intended to be a lot more aggressive.
It's much more reliant in Bloodborne since you don't have a shield.
But, you know, Bloodborne might be the easiest one to pick up in that regard, because most people do want to just... it's not Devil May Cry either way, you know what I mean? It's not God of War suddenly where you're running in and just... smashing on that, because you can't, because you run out of stamina for one, but also enemies aren't just punching bags either, you know, they're gonna fight back, so there's still that big learning curve. But I think Bloodborne's a little easier to pick up than the rest of them, so maybe if Souls is something that the Souls games have been something that you've looked at and thought that looks interesting, but I just don't know, I heard how hard they are, I really think the difficulty. And this isn't one of those, like, get good, new, because I really hate that shit, too. But, like, the difficulty of these games is really played up quite a bit, I think. Because as difficult as they are, like I said, there's not a ton of consequence for dying in them. And
outside
you're not going to have to start
time
the...
and Bloodborne.
Yeah, and, like...
the biggest part.
And, yeah, time is the biggest consequence. But, like, losing your souls or whatever, blood echoes...
It means
get,
a
not
lot
that
at the
big
beginning,
a,
but
yeah, and even
it goes
then,
away
it's not
quick.
A,
you'll be swimming in souls at end game. So.
So, like, you know, they're not going to send you back to the beginning of the game. You're going to lose, and if you got time to play, you're going to lose 10 minutes maybe, you know? And, like, the once you get used
sometimes
to,
longer.
Yeah, it just depends on the section of the game. But and how used to the game you are by the wherever you're at, you know? And so, yeah, I mean... don't let difficulty scare you away from these games, because it gets played up because there is that mentality of like, oh, well, check out how fucking big my dick is because I beat this video game. It's like, it's
nobody
not,
cares.
It's
though.
Not that fucking hard, you know?
Nobody fucking cares.
Yeah. You just had a lot of time to, I put a lot of time into Bloodborne. And I got fairly decent at it, I think. And like, but I still die in it. You know what I mean? You die to bullshit sometimes. It's just going to happen. But, and it does have that, old you know, video game mentality of don't hold your hand, don't really tell you where to go. There is some clues here and there, but like, yeah, it's not really as bad as people make it out to be. And it's not as big of an achievement to finish one as some people like to make it out to be.
No.
Like, it's not that big a deal. It's just a fucking game, you know? So like, you know, just play and try to have fun with it. If you don't like it, it's not for you. It's not, you know, not everything's for everybody. So I think I've met people that wanted to play them and just couldn't or felt like they couldn't.
And
it's like,
quit and give
you
up,
really don't have to, you know, like I said, the Undead Burg in the first one, that took me hours to actually get through that unscathed. And now I can do it. No problem. You know, so just check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a, you know, Nathan, we're going to fucking miss you, man. You sorry son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm going to go get murdered in the streets of South
Bend. You're moving in like in 2 days or something, right?
Friday, yeah.
Friday, so.
So by the time this airs,
Nathan will you'll be gone, moving. And I'll be crying into my underwear.
Into your underwear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the way I do it. No, you know, lifetime friend of the show, you're always invited back, buddy. Whenever you're home, we'll make room and we'll get you on. So,
yeah, next time I come on,
no more Souls games.
Yeah,
no more Souls games.
Ryan's not going to be able to handle
it. I did my one for the year. I'm done. I can't do another one for another year.
Cool. Well, that's how I felt about. That's why I said I'm glad they're taking a break, because I played Bloodborne a lot, like at the end, basically from like probably end of the year up until the new year of this year. And then, like, 2 months later,
Dark Souls 3
came out, and I was like, am I really ready to... I did end up playing it quite a bit, but, like, now if they came out with another one, like, a year from now, I might be thinking, like, I don't know about this
anymore. Yeah.
You know, but,
so, like, what were you going to say, though?
About what?
I don't know, about coming back.
Oh, I was just going to say, I kind of wanted to, like, probably next time I'll try to, like, write shit down, because...
Oh.
Fair I feel enough. Like I get, like, I'll
You're
start...
You're very rambly, yeah.
Well, I start talking about certain subjects, but then, you know, we get sidetracked, or I do, and it's just like, I don't always complete a point like I feel like I wanted to, you know? So
God,
like,
yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, there's many times like, I'm thinking, and it's like 2 days later, I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this.
Well, not only that, it's just like, I probably sound like I'm just like all over the place in this discussion. Cause
again,
like,
that's more of this
like
game.
Anytime I start a point, like, I go to here, and then I was like, oh, wait, but then that brings up to here. What was that first point I was at? It just happens. And especially with these games where it's so dense, there's so much to talk about. We could easily do a 3-hour podcast on Bloodborne. But we could.
I would rather do it on a Metal Gear. Just go for fucking ever. But anyways, I don't know. I think we're going to wrap it up here, you know? You know where to fucking find us at this point. I don't want to throw that out this time. We put it in all the fucking things. It's all over the place. So reach out to us. Find us. Lick a butthole. I don't give a shit right now. Go eat a turd.
Don't lick mine.
Lick a butthole and eat a turd.
Yeah.
Like, don't fuck yourselves.
Don't.
Not lick... right now. I'm not going that harsh.
Don't lick my butthole right now because it's really fucking hot in this room and it's probably
it's full
pretty
of swamp.
Gross.
I don't know.
But no,
how you guys are so hot in this room? I think it is perfectly fine temperature wise.
I think it's not like miserable, but I'm sweating.
I guess we're both kind of large and I got a lot of fucking facial hair.
Okay.
I don't think your office is really that big.
No.
I don't know what it is.
I mean, come on.
I don't know. My body's like a weapon, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
finally tuned. Yeah, tuned. Anyways, you know, Nathan, you're the best, man. I'm going to miss you. I guess have fun in South Bend. Don't get robbed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you guys do a Naked Gun special edition episode, I want to be involved with that.
I think we could.
Yeah, we could do that.
That is definitely doable.
Actually, I think it's a bad idea. Don't do that. Because I don't know what you would even talk about, honestly. Like,
I don't know.
How
Nielsen
creepy?
Hasn't aged in 40 years?
Well, he's dead now.
Yeah, so. But he never aged. But anyways. I don't know. We got to shut up, man. Ryan's got to go take care of his dog.
Well, just know that if you do watch those again, O.J. Simpson's role it's just so
very
weird.
Similar to what really happened.
Well, it's like if you tried to watch the Cosby Show now. It's just like, well,
it's just hard
here's
to
that guy
get
that
into it because
murdered his wife
and some other Jewish waiter.
Yeah, some guy. So. Anyway,
We love you. That's going to be it. We're going to stop here. Thanks again. And this was Bloodborne. Grind out.